News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, the consultation process on the first major revamp of the primary school curriculum in 25 years closes tomorrow. But are parents getting a big enough say in what we're teaching our kids? David Quinn, columnist with the Sunday Indo and head of the Iona Institute, has been writing about this. David, you think parents don't have enough say?
Thanks, Shane. No, I don't actually, because so parents are in the constitution the primary educators of children. And so obviously, like, it's their children who are in the primary schools. There's 500,000 now. So over the years, as this curriculum lasts, there's going to be millions, including their parents, who obviously have a big vested interest in what's taught. And I think it's the case that, you know, parents are really busy. They kind of trust the schools. They trust the Department of Education. They trust the National Council for Curriculum and Assessment to do the right thing and just get on with the job. But nonetheless, I mean, a new curriculum only comes along about every 25 years. The current one came along in 1999, and by the way, it was signed off by Micheál Martin as Education Minister, and now you have Norma Foley signing off on the current one. And they have these consultation processes, by the way, which has been extended to June the 18th. They extended the other day, so 5 p.m.
Okay.
June the 18th, to have your say. But these consultation processes, and this is probably not the fault of the NCCA, almost nobody knows about these consultation processes. But it's the sort of thing, I guess, and I suppose that's the benefit of an item like this today. The way to get it better known is to have items like this, so people can, okay, didn't know about that, must look up the NCCA website under the consultation section and see what it has to say. But I mean, you know, like, I'm a professional commentator and I wasn't really paying any attention to it until somebody drew it to my attention the other day. So then I went and had a look.
Yeah, were there elements to it that alarmed you, that concerned you?
Yeah, so there was one particular thing, and I was comparing it with the 1999 curriculum, that is the present one. And it just struck me as a strange thing that they... So they have a section in the current one called Fostering a Sense of Irish Identity, you know, to get familiar with, you know, the Irish heritage, Irish culture, and so on. And it's quite a big section. That's now completely gone. They have more about global citizenship. They've taken out a lot of the references to Europe and our place in Europe. Now, that seems really odd to me. And again, it's about the whole global citizenship thing. Now, somebody might say, well, 1999, we were much less multicultural. Now we're much more multicultural. Therefore, we're taking out the bit about a sense of Irish identity. But actually, I think it should be going the other way, because the more people come into the country from diverse backgrounds, the more we need to be able to hold something in common. And like in America, that's why you're an Irish-American or an Italian-American or a German-American or whatever the case may be. So over here, presumably, you want people to be Irish, Filipino, Irish, Pole, or Irish Indian, and so on and so forth. So why would you take that out? Like, why would you take out something that's really important to foster in a multicultural society, that the kind of common sense of Irishness that people ought to have, no matter where they come from, this kind of melting pot idea.
Okay.
So I don't know why they would do that. It's strange to me.
What about the well-being section?
Well, that's an expanded section. And by the way, there's a problem as well in that they're now trying to crowd so much into the school curriculum. I think the average school week is something like 25 hours of actual learning time, of actual class time. So you have this new expanded well-being program that includes things they already have, like PE and social personal health education. That incorporates sex ed. But you have other elements put in there as well. So they just have expanded. They wanted to have more of the school day. They have, of course, math still and science still, but are adding technology and engineering into it, and you're kind of looking at this thinking, well, how much can the average 10-year-old mind actually take in over the course of a day? But they've also put in one, it's an amended version of a current one called Social and Environmental Education. And now that takes in history and geography, but it's also adding new elements. And so you've got stuff like empowering the child to promote justice and equity and sustainable development.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, you see, it depends on what it means. I mean, first of all, how much politics do you want to put into the school day? So that's one, particularly for children. I mean, are we talking about 7, 8, 9-year-olds? And the second thing is like a concept like justice sounds uncontroversial, but it's a highly contested term, because otherwise we wouldn't have to bother with politics. Everybody would agree. But obviously all these political parties have different ideas exactly about how you deliver justice, about what justice is, by the way. Is it a quality of outcome? Is it a quality of opportunity? Is Ivana Bacic right about it? Is Simon Harris right about it? Is somebody else entirely right about it?
Is David Quinn right about it?
Exactly, yes, and is Shane right about it?
Yeah,
So it's immediately contested. And so I just question whether that belongs in the primary schools at all. And if you do put it in the primary schools, you really have to show that there are different ideas about what these ideas mean. And like a lot of that will come down to the textbooks that appear in the schools to give flesh to all this. And will they be trying to turn all the kids into mini Greta Thunbergs, for the sake of the
argument. Is that your concern? Is it that it'll be overly woke, overly right on, that it's a kind of a form of lefty brainwashing? Is that your worry?
That could happen. I mean, that could happen. And undoubtedly a lot will come down to the textbooks. I mean, remember it wasn't long before lockdown, we had all these climate demonstrations going on in Dublin. All these kids are brought out of the schools, and it's particularly Educate Together schools that they're coming out of. I mean, how much of that do you want children doing? I mean, not just on climate, but on
some people
other
say
issues.
That's a good thing, David. Like,
yeah, but it's up to the parents. I mean, do the parents want this? How deep do they want the politics going in the classroom? What version of politics do they want taught? You see, like, from my point of view, again, if this is what most parents want, then so be it. But frankly, I would say parents will start arguing pretty quickly about exactly the type of politics that a school is to teach. How light is it to be? How deep is it to be? What version is it to be? Does it get too biased towards one side? I mean, my view all along, by the way, has been in respect of Catholic education, by the way, is that if the parents no longer want it, then bring it to an end.
Okay.
But at least in the present environment, you know, a Catholic school is more or less what it says in the tin. But if a school starts becoming political and parents haven't been properly consulted, then that's a problem.
David Quinn, columnist with the Sunday Independent, head of the Iona Institute. Thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast. Let us know what you think. 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.